Welcome to Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read. My name is Raina Menashe, and I'll be your host for this segment. Today I'm interviewing Teresa Burrell. My guest is the author of the award-winning Advocate series, the new Tuper mystery series, and three children's books. Her book entitled Advocate's Felony received the San Diego Best Mystery Award, and six of her other books have received the International Reader's Favorite Award. My guest has also worked as an attorney, teacher, and advocate. She has dedicated her life to helping children in many ways. Teresa, it's great having you on Bookshelf.
Thank you, Raina. It's a pleasure to be here. It's so nice to be in a local situation. I spend so much time on the roads.
Great.
Nice to be home.
And we are local. Let's start with your latest book, The Advocate's Illusion, which I understand is the ninth in the Advocate series. Tell us a little bit about this book and how it fits into the rest of the series.
The Advocate's Illusion is, as you said, book number nine. I'm writing a series with the three main characters, Sabra Oren Brown, her initials are SOB. Her friend Bob, who is also an attorney, and a PI named JP. And those three characters carry out throughout the entire series. The Illusion is the last one I wrote, but there's many more to come. It is the I book, as we refer to it. The books are in alphabetical order, much like Sue Grafton. By the way, Sue Grafton gave me her stamp of approval.
Oh, wonderful.
A few years ago. So that was nice. The Advocate's Illusion has been on the top 100 legal mysteries since it released. It deals with the First Amendment issue. It's set up a little different than the rest of the books in the series in that it starts with an event when Sabra is at a magic show and something goes terribly wrong. And then it goes back and starts 3 weeks earlier leading up to that event.
So if you have so many more books coming in this series, that's a lot of writing. Where do you get all your ideas for this, for the Advocate series?
I practiced law for 12 years in juvenile court in San Diego Superior Court. And my books are inspired by cases I've been involved in. They are fictionalized, but there's all these little things that happened that kind of sparks an idea, and that's where I go from that.
So do you have notes from your cases, or you just remember these things in your head?
They're in my head.
Well, I know that you've also begun a second series, the Tuper Mystery Series, and the first novel is Mason's Missing. Does that series relate to the Advocate series, or are they completely unrelated? Tell us about the new one.
The Tuper Mystery Series is based on a character from book six in the Advocate series called The Advocate's Felony. It was an old guy in his 70s who lives in Montana, and my characters from the Advocate series met up with him, and he became a fan favorite. The readers really liked him.
Hmm.
He lives in Montana in an old shack in the mountains, and he likes three things: guns, gambling, and women.
Okay.
So, as you can imagine, he's a fun character. He's a fun character to write. Mm-hmm. The readers really wanted to hear more about him. He does not fit in San Diego. So I started his own series.
Is he based on anyone you know? Don't tell us who, but...
He is, actually. He's inspired... He is actually loosely based on one of my brothers.
Okay.
And my brother knows that.
Okay.
And in fact, that's where he got the name. We called him Tuper when I was young. That was a nickname we had.
Okay, well, I guess the secret is out.
The secret's out.
Well, let's talk a little bit about more of your family, your history. I know that you grew up on a farm in Minnesota and that you were obviously an attorney here in California and an author. What drew you towards law?
Oh, boy. I'd always wanted to practice law. I think from the time I was pretty young. I give a lot of credit to that, to Earl Stanley Gardner, both my writing and my legal career. I think every Perry Mason book that Earl Stanley Gardner ever wrote when I was young, and I really, truly enjoyed legal suspense. I wasn't able to go to law school when I first started, so I got a teaching credential, and I've taught school for 12 years, and then I decided to go back to law school and become a lawyer.
And I know that you're really dedicated to children, and you try to address their needs in a lot of different formats, as well as entertain. You've put out 3 children's books, Gaspar, The Flatulating Ghost. I love the title. Gaspar, The Flatulating Ghost Meets a Bully, and Gaspar, The Flatulating Ghost Flies a Kite. Okay, tell us about Gaspar, The Flatulating Ghost.
Well, I basically wrote the Gaspar series for my nieces and nephews, of which I have over 125.
Really?
Really. That's nieces and nephews, great nieces and nephews, great great nieces and nephews. I'm the last of 9 children. So I have a nephew who's almost my age. So when you get that far apart and you have that many children in the family, it doesn't take long for those numbers to multiply. So I have quite a few, and I wrote it kind of for them, and they really enjoy it. In fact, one of my nephews is the illustrator for the books.
Oh, that's nice.
Zach Settle, who is an artist in his own right, but he has illustrated the books, and that's been fun working with him.
Are you inspired to do more children's books?
I'm not sure. I might continue this series some. There's other things I want to write, and I really want to write more in my advocate series, since it is in alphabetical order. I have a long way to go, and I'm working on the J word right now. But I don't know. I might write a few more, but mostly I like writing the mysteries.
Well, with so much that you're doing and going to do, how do you organize and structure your research and writing time?
When I get up in the morning, I roll out of bed and I walk across the hallway into my office.
Nice.
I sit down and I start to write. I set my alarm for 9 o'clock and for 11. At 9 o'clock, I stop and give my cat or medicine, and then I go back to writing, and I write until 11, and then I stop. And whatever amount of words I have done, that's what I go with.
Do you do a lot of research, too?
I do research, but I don't do it while I am writing. Mm-hmm. It's too easy to get caught up in the internet and whatever else I'm looking for. But I do research. A lot of my research is done through people I know or I've worked with. Mm-hmm. I have a good knowledge of the juvenile court system where my books take place, but it's been a while since I've been there, so I often contact other attorneys who are still working there.
Right.
Or if it's a police issue, I have sheriff and police contacts that I contact and ask questions.
Now, is there any children's issue that drives you the most right now, something that you feel the most passionate about?
There's always, I think I'm passionate about every child issue that's out there. I've tried to make it my life's work to help protect children. When I taught school, I worked with children who had problems. I worked on the west end of San Bernardino, and I was dealing with the same kinds of things that I dealt with when I went back to school and became a lawyer and worked
sure.
in juvenile court.
Sure. So it's just children in general.
It's children. I think if people would just become aware and do their part, if everybody did a little bit, it would really help. But there's one thing that can be done to prevent child abuse. Child abuse is preventable, but it has to be done by the parents.
Right.
And if the parents would just put the children first.
Right. It solves so many other social ills.
Absolutely.
Yeah. As a social worker, I can relate.
There you go. You know, Rena.
So which, out of all your books, which one is your favorite and why?
Wow. It's kind of like saying, you know, who's
which
your
child?
Favorite child? Exactly. But the first book, of course, meant a lot to me because it was my first.
Mm-hmm.
So that one has a special place in my heart. The second book, The Advocate's Betrayal, has a great ending that I discovered about halfway through the book, and it's just 2 words, and I end the book. So if you read that book, don't go and read the ending first. It'll ruin it for you.
Okay.
But when you get to that part, it answers so many questions in 2 words, and that was fun. The Advocate's Felony was really fun to write. And it was the one that Tuper was a spinoff from. It takes place in a whole different setting, and it's not as much a legal suspense because it's really kind of more about the characters and their own lives. So that one was fun to write. I know what's my most difficult one.
That's what I was going to ask.
It's by far The Advocate's Homicide, and for a couple of reasons. One, you can't write about juvenile court and child abuse issues without covering pedophiles.
Right.
And The Advocate's Homicide just deals with that issue. So I labored with how I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, none of my books are graphic, so you don't see any scenes in there. There's nothing graphic about that, but I still had to deal with the issue.
Right.
So what I decided was I'll kill the pedophile right off, and then so I start with him dead. And it made it a lot easier for me to write, although it was still tough. But the readers do not have to deal with him as a live person.
Interesting.
And also, the other thing at that time in my life, my brother was dying of pancreatic cancer.
Oh.
So I had a lot of things going on in my life emotionally, so it was a tough book to write, and it took me longer than any of the other books.
And it's a tough subject, period.
It is. It's a hard one to deal with.
Yeah, I agree. I guess my next question is about East County. As you know, East County Magazine really focuses on news that affects East County, and I know that you have characters who are based in East San Diego. Why East County for your characters?
Well, two of my characters are in East County, and okay. A number of my characters that come through the system are in East County, and I did spend time in juvenile court in East County.
Okay.
Although my main court was Meadowlark. In the book, I go back and forth. But one of my characters, Bob, who is Sabra's colleague, if you will, and best friend in the book, that character is loosely based on my friend, and he lives in East County, and he loves East County, and so I didn't see any reason to pull him out of there. It fit his character, and it fit him, and also JP, the private investigator, he's not a city boy, he's a country boy. He'd much rather be with trees than a beach.
Yeah, and East County really does have country still, huh?
It does.
Yeah.
And it also offers a more small town setting than when I do things downtown. So.
Right. Very interesting. I do have one more question. What is the title of the next book in the Tuper mystery series, and when should we expect to see it?
I don't know.
Good answer.
I expect to do at least 3 books in that series, but I'm not going to do another book in the Tuper series until I finish the J Word.
In the Advocate series.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the J Word is yet.
Uh-oh.
I have started writing, and I have submissions. I always ask my readers for suggestions
for my titles
for the Advocate series, so they come up with just the word with that letter. So I've got a lot of input from them. I have a whole list of words, and I'll start writing, and when I find the word that best fits, that's what I will use.
It's a good thing you know your alphabet.
It is. Now, some of my books, I have done it differently. I've had words submitted, and as soon as I got a word, I thought of a storyline.
Great.
And so I did that with the ex parte, the E word,
So the word itself inspires the whole story.
Yes. So to answer your question, I'm finishing the J Word, and then I plan to do another Tuper mystery.
Okay. Well, we look forward to it. Our time is up, Teresa, but thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Raina. It was a pleasure to be here.
And for more information on Teresa Burrell and her books, please visit her website at teresaburrell.com. And that's spelled TeresaBurrell. Again, this is Raina Menashe, and you have been listening to East County Magazine's Bookshelf. bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read.